should have such problems.
It's 31 seconds after the hour of 12, and this, the month of June in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming along and making a party for listening day. Live, my friends. From the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, it is the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for giving Lord. He's Monday. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. It is Monday, and welcome to Day 12. Coming up today, double, I think. We have a double Darwin watch coming your way. We have a double Darwin watch. Later on, we have... what else do we have? Well, we have a battle watch we're going to get to. Quite possibly, it's the worst song you've ever heard. And I found... I can't say what it is right now. And this is not... I mean, this is a guarantee, but it is a thing I'll get to. It's not a thing I'm just going to mention and then never... I have to get to this. It's too good not to get to. It's a thing I found... Sometimes people will talk about found comedy. They'll talk about found art or found music. I have now... It's found radio. Literally, I found it in the street. It's a thing I found in the street. You'd never... And it's not going to be like the mystery sound thing where I make you guess it and then it never happens and then you come and you set me on fire. It's never... Because I could give you a skillion guesses. I could put 1,000 monkeys in a room with 1,000 typewriters and they would never type out what I found laying in the street the other day. I know that this is inadvertently becoming a guarantee, but I don't mean for it to be that way. It's just... You hear about your people's hearts skipping a beat? You say, it made my heart go pitter-patter. Really, it did. It's unbelievably great, this thing I found laying in the street. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. So forth. Clyde Lewis coming up later on today with News at Ground Zero. Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio going to be here. Jim Roop. And we will, without fail today, we'll do this top five. We got on a real roll last week. We did I think we had two consecutive days where we did top fives. So today we will continue that trend. We'll do the top five most embarrassing songs from the 60s. That's what we will get to today. Quite possibly other things, but there's no point in talking about them now. It's 503-733-2970. We are rejoined today after her exclusive three-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Sarah X. Dillon rejoining the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello.
How are you?
I am well-rested, and I'm doing very good.
So you're right-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Really,
know.
It's true. Now, you always hear about people looking rejuvenated, or having their vigor restored. It's never really true, except it was true this morning. You are radiating with rest and rejuvenation.
I feel like a human being again. Honestly, last week I got at least 7 or 8 hours of sleep every night.
Who says New York adds 10 years to your life?
Well, it's also
not proven here.
It's also no longer having to get up at 3:30 in the morning, stand in front of a screen, and give traffic to idiots.
No, I feel like I've de-aged. Honestly, looking at myself, I feel like I've less. Because I was trying to get like weird, wrinkly things under my eyes, and they're gone.
Totally.
Yeah.
So there's too much to talk about right now. But so you were in Boston, and then you were in Manhattan with your sister,
mm-hmm.
and then you were like
stayed in Brooklyn for a night, and then went back to Manhattan.
Stayed in Brooklyn and stalking celebrities.
Not stalking. They just happened to walk by me. You heard me.
I was in New York. I've been in New York like 5 different times. I've never seen anybody. I saw Walter Cronkite.
Okay,
that was it.
You have to say that you were on the phone with me, and I'm like, oh, hey, Rick, I just stopped at a corner just to call you and say hi, and there's Michael Ian Black walking right in front of me. So anyway.
And then, but you know,
you made me go.
Did you wait outside, or did you finally go in and assert yourself?
I finally went in. My sister and I went and bought iced teas, and I asked him,
can I have your picture?
Yeah. And he said yes. He was very nice. And since then, we've written each other a couple emails back and forth. He's really cool.
Have you been MySpacing with him?
Yeah.
Okay. And you got a picture of the side of Matt Dillon's head.
Side of Matt Dillon's head, and across the street I saw Tobey Maguire. They're filming Spider-Man 3.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was
I didn't
awesome.
Know they're filming that now.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right off of Canal Street, the entire thing. It was terrible, too. It was this dance sequence they were doing. It looked like it was out of West Side Story, and they're following Kirsten Dunst's stand-in. And they're, like, walking down the street doing this little snappy, like, sing-along thing.
What are they dancing? I don't understand. This is for Spider-Man 3?
It was for Spider-Man 3.
Okay.
But everybody else was openly gawking, too.
All right. Would you like to tell everybody what became of the food you were bringing me from New York? Let me just tell you this. A whole week you had to be in New York to stockpile food, to stockpile comestibles and other eatable goods to bring me. I didn't ask you for anything. I didn't ask you for a snow globe. I didn't ask you for clothing. I didn't ask you to get a picture of anything for me. All I said was, bring a little nosh for Rick. Bring me a little bagel. A little lox. Is that so much to ask? Where's my bagel now, Sarah?
Well, United Airlines don't tell you that they don't give you food.
Uh-huh.
And you have to pay like $10 for dinner.
How long was the flight from New York to here?
It was 4 hours from there to Denver.
How long into the trip were you when you decided to eat my bagel? And what are the things that you eat before? What did you go through before you said, I'll eat this gift that I'm bringing for Rick?
I ate the crappy bags of, like, mixed pretzel things.
They're never enough.
No, yeah. And all they do is make you thirsty, and then there's bringing you those little tiny cups of water, those like, half bottles of water.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have any food, and I saw that bagel sitting in there, and I was really hungry.
Did you enjoy it?
I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
Yes, I enjoyed it.
Did you feel badly, you know, as you were eating it?
No,
feel bad?
Because I replaced it with an even cooler present.
She brought me the Reserve.
I stole
Where is
the
it
Reserve.
From?
It's from the Lotus, one of the exclusive clubs in Manhattan in the meatpacking district. This is from the VIP section. It's one of the reserve signs.
Oh, I thought it was from the Lotus here. Well, that's even more...
No, yeah, this is from the club that Lindsay Lohan frequents.
All right. Okay.
For you, Rick.
All right, there you go. Okay, fine.
There you go. I think someone saw me steal it.
There is your lock now. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories today for your edification.
Well, it's been a rough weekend for Oregonians in Iraq after one is kidnapped, another killed. Some good news from the state, though. A fawn is rescued from an abandoned mine shaft. Screech needs your help to keep his house. And the studios tell iTunes, no way they'll sell movie downloads for $9.99.
Fantastic. All right, 503-733-2970, or you can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Also today, we probably won't get to this hour. I realize how much last week was... I mean, I don't know whether it was good or terrible or somewhere in between, but it was just weird. Last week, it was like we fell into some parallel world. It plummeted through some sort of talk radio wormhole. Because I realized just in the 5 days that Sarah was gone, how much stuff we got done and how many things we... And I realized because Sarah was in my office like 5 minutes this morning, and in the space of the 5 minutes, I mentioned three different things that she didn't know anything about. All of this... She was there. Who's Rick Erickson? What's Otis, Oregon? I don't understand. All of these things. So we'll have to do some recap. This weekend I was gonna put together like a whole previously in the Rick Emerson show. I didn't. I was just not motivated enough to make it happen. So coming up, later, like in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll recap the various things that happened during Sarah's absence last week. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he is your personal savior. Let's go to the city desk with Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From higher down the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Our top story, let's get right to the Battle Watch, shall we?
Here's your Battle Watch for Monday.
I want you to remember that no bastard ever won war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
An Oregon soldier is missing in Iraq. The Department of Defense says three soldiers, and only three for some reason, were manning a checkpoint Friday in Baghdad when they came under enemy small arms fire. Killed was a man from Massachusetts. Then among the missing is an Oregon man. Let's see, an Iraqi farmer spotted three U.S. vehicles coming under fire, two chasing after the assailants. He said gunmen attacked the third vehicle, killing the driver and taking two soldiers captive.
Well, so these Americans, they're manning what? They're manning a checkpoint between someplace and some other place?
Yeah.
All right. And do they know who it is? So I
guess the Al-Qaeda is claiming it now.
So they're, yeah, but who knows? That's like at a Pan Am 103 and like there was... You know, some guy, you know, living at a flop house in Brunswick was claiming responsibility for it. So they're at a checkpoint, and then they're attacked, and so they're dead or they're kidnapped or both.
Okay, one is dead, two are kidnapped. Among the kidnapped is Private Thomas L. Tucker, who's only 25 years old, and he's from Madras. Then we have Private First Class Christian Machaca. Now, I wonder if this is a woman, because it's spelled with a K, and she's only 23.
Yeah, there's no roadmap on it. You can't tell.
So that's that. So that's all we know at the moment.
All right. Well, we were talking to Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio later on in the day, and I'm sure she'll have developments on that.
Meanwhile, the military is doing all it can, says Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Their safe return is something that everyone will work for, and their safe return is something that everyone will pray for.
Everyone in this case, meaning no one.
Mm-hmm. Then more bad news. A 22-year-old graduate of Rex Putnam High School has been killed in Iraq. Robert Jones was killed last week, according to a brief conversation with his father. Details about his rank, service branch, and location of death have not yet been released. He graduated from Rex Putnam High School in 2001.
What exactly does she mean by that when she says that every... I'll stipulate that it's lip service. I'll stipulate that everybody's praying for their safe return, but I'm talking about that first half. I want to clarify here. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about that first half. What does she say there?
Their safe return is something that everyone will work for.
Clearly, that's not the...
It sounds like she's lying.
It's a rather binary statement. One is either working for their safe return or one is doing bupkis. At the moment, it seems to be a whole lot of bupkis and a whole lot of sitting around mouthing a bunch of platitudes with reporters. Platitudes which mean nothing and have no actual real-world application.
Clearly, there aren't enough people at these checkpoints to begin with.
No. I mean, it's so... All right. And did you see that, there was some crap the other day about how the military is claiming that for the third month in a row they've reached their recruiting goals, which I find to be a little suspicious, which indicates that they're either just lying about it or they've lowered the number of people that they got to recruit every month, because it seems impossible to me at this juncture that anybody is rationally looking at the military and thinking that they're going to be getting the straight scoop from the guy who tells them to sign on the dotted line there.
Meanwhile, White House Press Secretary Tony Snow says you can't run a war based on polls. Snow was asked about a CNN poll showing less than 40% of Americans supporting the president's handling of the war in Iraq.
If we do something like saying, okay, we're going to do a phased withdrawal, we're going to do this at this date, this at this date, and this at this date, think of what the impact may be for people in Iraq.
Yes, it might turn into an unstable, civil war-torn country. Suddenly, things might no longer be proceeding with the smooth efficacy that has come to be the hallmark of the American op. What do we even have
the Green Zone will hold a street fair.
Is the... Do we even have a name for the operation in Iraq? This is not, by the way, this is not the, I am not saying this to
not
encourage
lately, no.
kooky calls from the audience. I'm just, you know, because everything has a name. There was Desert Shield and Desert Storm and Operation Golden, what was that? We have Golden something or other? Mm-hmm. Golden Eagle? Freedom Eagle? Comfort Eagle something? And then there was, I guess it's still Operation Iraqi Freedom. Well, whatever. But so apparently it's moving along as planned or something.
Meanwhile, our partner in peace, Saudi Arabia, beheaded a man for murder, the kingdom's second execution this year. Musa bin Saad was found guilty of shooting and killing two Saudi men after a dispute. Saudi beheadings are carried out with a sword in public to serve as a deterrent. It works wonderfully.
Yes.
They beheaded 33 people in 2005, 35 in 2004.
You can tell.
They follow a strict interpretation of Islam, which is a peaceful religion, by the way.
What with the bombings and cutting off of heads and whatnot.
They're becoming more westernized every day.
No, it really is true. It's good to see that they are learning.
They wear different shades of black now. I'm just
There you go. Someday, by the way, as the glorious workers' paradise of Emersonia comes to fruition, and as we begin to establish our government, we are going to have a firm enemies list that's going to be posted at all the city gates, and Saudi Arabia is going to be high on that. As soon as Emersonia becomes an armed republic, by the way, we may actually just carry out some sort of assault against Saudi Arabia.
Emersonia?
Oh, you missed that part.
Oh, yeah. You don't even know what we're talking about. No, it's good times.
You might be promoted to a public office.
We've still got several openings left. Apply now. So, Tim is going to be information officer.
I don't know if I'm going to be in the land that you're the ruler of, Rick.
Tim is going to be the Minister of Information. I think Jim Roop wanted some sort of enforcement position. I think he's going to be flogging and imprisoning dissidents.
I like that idea.
Okay.
That is the Battle Watch for now.
Americans play to win all the time. Americans love to win. We have the best spirit and the best men in the world. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war.
So far we have over 2,500 dead and $3 again gas. That's what we've gained from this war thus far.
Price of liberty. I don't understand why we don't just accidentally bomb Saudi Arabia, because we seem to be accidentally bombing a whole lot of other things and have for quite some time. How far? I don't even know where it is.
It's in that same general
spatially
area.
Relating to the other countries.
It's just dirt.
Endless
dirt.
Really, who's going to complain about that? I mean, who is going to get all up in arms? God forbid. And again, I realize
sand in their eyes.
I realize that all human life has value, but we seem to be killing a lot of people every day, kind of regardless of whether they've done anything. So, I mean, you know, as long as we're out there blowing people to smithereens, why don't we add a country to the list that no one seems to care? Who do you know that would be upset if Saudi Arabia were just gone tomorrow? I mean, God forbid, half the people there have got to be hating their lives anyway. Your whole day in Saudi Arabia has got to be waking up and just looking for ways that you can inadvertently kill yourself so you can come back as, you know, some a citizen in some other country.
Hey, oh, what a beautiful country I live in.
Yeah, like living
flat, endless sand.
I can't show my ankles, so they'll beat me in public. I mean, living in Saudi Arabia, it's like an advanced case of living in Salt Lake. You know, you just wake up every day and you just look out the blinds and you hope the thing has been some sort of hideous fever dream, and then you realize that, no, you're still there. And depending on how old you are, you probably got like another 45 years of living there, going out, being whacked with sticks every day for looking at someone the wrong way. I mean, the whole country just seems to be a bit of a waste. So I say that we just nuke it from orbit and start over again. There you go. That's going to be the official policy. That is going to be by the official platform on Saudi Arabia as the glorious Workers' Republic of Emersonia begins its existence. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, Chevron chairman David O'Reilly doesn't expect the American public to see a major price increase at the pump in the near future. After all, it's $3 if we're not killing each other yet, so let's keep going.
Okay.
However, during an appearance on Meet the Press, O'Reilly indicated that gas prices could hike if oil facilities are struck again by major hurricanes like they were last year.
I'm sorry.
This is number three.
Okay. Yeah.
Last year, a significant amount of the refining capacity and oil and gas capacity was shut down. Now, much of that has been recovered. Lots of hard work by thousands and thousands of people, but they're vulnerable.
He's a real firecracker of a public speaker. Imagine being married to him. Who is that?
That's the Chevron Corporation chairman, David O'Reilly.
All right, there you go. And so the price of gas is high because of what? Hurricanes?
Hurricanes.
Okay.
Yeah. Shell Oil President John Hoffmeyer told the same program that the high profits the oil companies are posting are very deceiving. It just
isn't
true.
We've got other projects that we're investing in. So the profitability, while it looks like big numbers, it's all being spent on future energy reserves.
Huh? How can something...
Somebody's future vacation.
Logically speaking, how can you spend this on something that happens in the... What do they mean by spending it on future reserves? I'm asking the people like anybody knows. No one knows. Yeah, they're making it.
Well, this is kind of like Condoleezza Rice lines.
Making. Waking up every day trying to figure out how we can end the conflict. All right. Well, here's the thing about the Iraq War. Just go back for that for a second. We were talking about Condoleezza. Let's hear this quote again.
Their safe return is something that everyone will work for, and their safe return is.
Okay, that's what, in journalistic circles, that's what's called a lie. That's what's called a load of bollocks. It's clearly not true. But the thing about, politically speaking, it would be my estimation at this point. Politically speaking, Bush has got no reason to get out of it because everybody has defected. All of his support has fallen away in droves. The handful of Democrats and liberals that did support him have left. He's lost 40% of the Republican base. But it seems to me, and again, this is just my layman's observation on this, but it seems to me, because they said that the approval rating of how he's handling things in Iraq.
Yes.
And by handling, I believe in this case, is a colloquialism that means doing nothing. And so if he's got 40% approval, 40% is still a damn lot. I mean, 40% in this country, that's like, it's like 130 million people. I don't know who those people are. I don't know where they live. They can't all fit inside Kansas. So I don't know who it is that wakes up every day going, God bless George W. Bush. God bless our elected leaders. And I like the way that he's every single moment of his day trying to make things work better in Iraq. I don't know who those people are, but presumably they exist. If you have not been, if you are still supporting George, and again, this has nothing to do with my political stance. I'm just saying, from a politically objective point of view, my objective assessment of this, my clear-eyed read on this is that if he hasn't alienated those people by now, I mean, what could he do? Like, he could do anything at this point. Like, if you're still with George W. Bush now, clearly he could just go out and start shooting puppies every morning, and it's like you wouldn't even care. And like, how much further could he possibly go? So at this point, he has no motivation, because if he pulls out of Iraq now, he's going to lose those 40% who are clearly only sticking to him because they like that thing about, well, he's a man that follows through and doesn't change his mind. He's not a flip-flopper. So he's got fundamentally now no motivation for leaving Iraq. So it would be my assessment that we're probably in for the long, unpleasant haul there. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, Miami Heat star Shaquille O'Neal didn't get much sleep before winning Game 5 of the NBA Finals yesterday. That's because he was busy helping a beating victim who was dumped in front of his home as a prank.
He and his, surprise.
He and his,
hey, you know what'll really shock Bob? We beat him bloody and then toss him in front of an apartment building.
Mm-hmm. He and his wife, Shawnee, were awakened by a loud banging noise, which was the throwing of a body in front of their front door at 4:30 yesterday morning. Stepfather Phil Harrison says Shaq, who is also a volunteer Miami Beach police officer, you didn't know that, went to investigate and found the victim of an assault.
That was a disgrace. The gentleman was picked up by somebody, beat up, and threw outside secure as a prank.
And why? I'm sorry, where did this take place?
This took place in Florida.
All right, well, I'm going to play that again because...
Don't play Condoleezza Rice. It's probably the same cut.
That was a disgrace. The gentleman was picked up by somebody, beat up, and threw outside secure as a prank.
I don't even know
what
he's...
Is that an official of some sort?
Who is...
That's his stepfather.
Okay. Was this at Shaquille O'Neal's house?
Yes.
Okay, get a gate, friend. I don't know. I don't know exactly where it is that Shaquille O'Neal lived. Clearly, someplace in Florida. Maybe all the gates have been
Star Island, Florida.
Used up there.
So it's an island, I guess.
Doesn't it seem like Shaquille O'Neal would live in some sort of a house where the rabble just couldn't be dumping bodies on your front porch? I don't understand the last half of this soundbite. Does anyone? Sarah? Tim?
No.
I want to make
just
sure.
Kind of blurring.
That was a disgrace.
Disgrace.
The gentleman was picked up by somebody, beat up.
Beat up.
And threw outside Shaquille as a prank.
And threw outside Shaquille's apartment.
Is that one?
Mm-hmm.
That was a disgrace. The gentleman was picked up by somebody, beat up, and threw outside Shaquille as a prank.
Threw outside Shaquille's.
As a prank.
As a prank.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, as a prank. I thought it said apartment.
No, he didn't live in an apartment.
I don't know. Maybe this is a new exciting definition of the word prank. I thought a prank was like when you tip toilet paper to a guy's house or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, this is Florida, though.
It's where?
Florida.
Is this a guy calling in about the mystery? You have no idea, by the way, in your absence, the heights of ludicrousness.
Have people still not figured it out?
No one has figured out. I don't even have anything to give away today. We gave away all the Curtis Salgado tickets. We gave away all the Champ Car stuff. We gave away the chance to be in the pit crew for that race, the auto race. I don't even think I have anything to give away now. No, but you have no idea just how crazed people have started to become. We're gonna have to do a whole segment.
You can figure it out. I got it. It's not that hard.
I understand. All I'm saying is, I am...
You are so happy about this sound.
I thought it was going to be a one-segment contest. I have to say this over and over and over again. That I did not intend to drag it out and drag it out and drag it out. So at some point, we're going to have to do like a list of things that the mystery sound isn't. Because we've now reached that point where we're starting to loop back. We're getting the same guesses. I got to tell you, like one in three callers... guesses that it's that thing in the bottom of the door, that bong thing in the bottom of the door that rubs up against the wall, the doorstop, kind of the springy thing.
That's ridiculous.
Tim, I have contempt for them. The number of emails I've gotten from people who literally are like, I can't eat, I can't sleep, I can't be intimate with my wife because all I can think about is the mystery sound. Like this. Rick, let's see. It's the spinner in the life game. That's what I think. Okay, that's a stupid answer. Because
somebody guessed that the week before.
No, because they're thinking of the popping thing from Sorry.
Oh, the Pop-O-Matic.
The Pop-O-Matic. It's not Pop-O-Matic. The Pop-O-Matic.
It's Bobble.
The Pop-O-Matic's on the Trouble game,
Bobble.
Too.
I don't know. What's Bobble?
You're
thinking of Boggle.
Am I thinking of Boggle?
But Boggle doesn't have a... See,
this is just mass confusion.
This is all of last week right there. That's what it is. This woman, Lisa, says, this is what I think the mystery sound is. You know, the little thing you twirl, and it makes a clicking sound. Something the younger generations won't get. Best game ever when we were kids. The game of life was never exciting to me in any way. Crap, I am probably wrong, but I just can't get my mind to open up to anything other than this. So until I am blatantly told that I am wrong, I simply cannot move ahead with my life. Lisa, you are wrong. You are utterly and entirely incorrect about this, and embarrassingly so. She signs herself... listener Lisa, closet David Cassidy fan. So there you go.
Well, there's one concert goer.
Is it that?
Does this guy have the right guess?
I don't know. I don't have time to do it. We have to take a break. We'll get to him when we come back. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up later on. We got Clyde Lewis, news at Ground Zero, Lisa Goddard from CNN, Jim Roop. We'll do a recap of everything that Sarah Dillon missed last week. What else? Got It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard, The Week in Geek, and I'll tell you about the amazing thing I found laying in the street. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. It's Monday. You stay right there. Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Tim Riley. And I will get some of these calls here in a second. You're not being ignored, I swear to God. So we'll get to some of these calls here in a second. I got a ton of emails later on. We have Clyde Lewis from News of Ground Zero, Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio, Jim Roop, Top 5 Worst Song. And we'll do a recap of everything that happened last week in the absence of Sarah X. Dillon. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk. Sherrod, you are. All right, there you go. Didn't we used to have a jar or some crap that we were...
Yeah, because I know I'm not supposed to turn on your microphone, but I don't know if I'm supposed to still be doing Tim's, because I'll turn it on when you guys still like, turn it off.
And it was a comedy of errors last week, by the way. God bless Kristen Bowie. She was filling in. And producing this show is being thrown into the deep end, especially if you've never... I mean, no disrespect to Kristen or her other jobs.
I'm very grateful to her.
I'm just... But
it's not a cookie-cutter show.
I was just going to say...
Things go in neat little boxes.
When the rest of your radio life consists of talking three times an hour for 7 seconds at a shot...
And then smoking a carton of cigarettes. Not that we're saying that Kristen smokes, but...
And then spending...
It is a cruel stereotype. In most cases, true.
And then spending the rest of your day looking through R&R for a better job somewhere, realizing it doesn't exist and wondering why you're $8,000 in the hole from community college.
Blowing smoke in your PD's face when he comes out the door asking for a raise.
Oh, haven't you missed this? Hey, are you sick? No, oh, thanks for bringing that here, by the way.
Sick.
Bring some Gary Baumgarten super flu.
Everything else about me feels fine. I just have this weird cough. But you know why? Because
that cross-country recycled air.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for bringing us the airplane flu.
I think I have the anti-smoker cough. Because I haven't...
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, because you do it for a while.
Is it the quitting smoking doesn't make you cough?
Yes, it does.
Does it really?
Yeah, hack and cough, yeah.
Well, how does that... What is that about?
Your lungs are trying to clear out.
Oh, and it is a stimulant, actually, I guess. Cigarette smoking is a stimulant, and as such, it probably does have a sort of, like an antihistamine effect on your alveoli. That makes sense.
Yeah, and it wasn't anything like I'm consciously trying to quit. I just really haven't been interested in it, so I just haven't been.
All right. Hey, Scotty, what is this guy's guess on line one? Can you type that to me? This guy here, just let me know. What is he guessing exactly? Talking to myself. Scotty. Hello.
Maybe he's doing other things. I noticed there are coffee grounds in this coffee.
Oh, okay. But what is the specific what? I'm sorry, Tim.
I just happened to notice there are coffee grounds in this coffee.
No, I'm sorry. You keep talking to someone that can't talk back, Rick.
No, he's
here.
No, he's on. He can type to me here.
There are like four different conversations going on here at once.
All right. Okay.
And no one's listening to anyone else.
No. It's smart. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Okay. So here's what we're gonna do. I don't even know. It's just like old times.
I really can't see who's on the phone, too, so I don't know what to be ready for.
No, it's fine.
Oh, this wasn't here when you were here last, was it?
Oh, yeah, we have a new call screening system.
No, you can't see.
No, you'll be able to get it. So we can put it. Here's the thing. We have three computers here. Sarah's computer, mine, and Scotty's. This call screening software we have now can work on any two. So right now it's just me and Scotty. You'll be in the loop at some point. So, okay. All right.
It's less for you to worry about.
Well, you'll have to let me know when there's somebody waiting that needs to see.
Okay. So it's just back to being a big flaming disaster.
Oh, I feel really bad. I mean,
an old comfortable pair of shoes.
You're all bragging about how you got, you know, two top fives done. You're making me feel really bad because all I've done is completely sidetracked.
Really? Last week when you were gone, and no offense, I don't want you to take any offense, and maybe it was a coincidence.
I'm not. It was the best week ever.
I am saying, though, that last week, we were on time. We were taking the breaks on time. We would come back at the final segment like 2:45. Like, you weren't running behind. Scotty wasn't running. I'm not saying that the show was better without you. I'm saying it was this sort of strange trade-off, though. You know, because I don't function well when things are different. And, of course, we love you. But it was, I think it's just because Kristen, I think she just was, like, terrified that she wouldn't do a good job. And so she would just, like, start the brakes and not even tell me. It would be, like, 19 after, and she's like, and I would hear the music start. So, okay, well, let's take this call about the mystery sound, which is now the millstone of my existence. Then we'll go to Clyde. Then we'll go back to the city desk. All right, Pete, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, brother?
Hey, oh, not too bad.
Is it true that you waited all day Friday to get on the air to talk about this?
It was only 45 minutes or so.
did we ever get your call?
No.
Yeah, okay. Good time.
Finished off. Yeah.
Well, that was ill-advised. All right, so this is... You realize I have nothing to give away. Even if you were to get the mystery sound now, I have nothing. I've got my... Let's see what I've got in my pocket here. No, I've got nothing. I don't even have lint. So, do you really want to use up your mystery sound guess right now, realizing that it's not going to... it's going to net you nothing?
I'll take a rain check or a free shot at the listener party or something like that.
Okay. All right. So what is your mystery sound guess, sir?
It's a old TV with the dials.
Oh, the UHF.
Two dials.
The UHF dial on an old, like, black and white television.
Yeah.
No, you are wrong,
no,
sir. No, you are wrong, but thank you.
That is horrible.
That's 45 minutes of your life you'll never get back. You're closer to death, and you've gained nothing for it.
Duh.
Just ponder that for the rest of the day. Thank you, Pete.
Well, thank you.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from ClydeLewis.com, the original Harry Scary Guy. How are you, sir?
Doing great. I've got three categories for you to choose from today.
Okay.
So the first category, real werewolves. The second category, transgendered conservatives. And the third, people with superhuman strength. Which one do you want?
I'm going to go with transgender conservatives.
Oh, I want to go with human werewolf.
I want to go with superhuman strength.
Okay,
well,
three.
I guess we have no choice but to do them all. Do transgender conservatives first.
You know how Ann Coulter released her book?
How did I know this is going to be Ann Coulter? Yes.
Ann Coulter released her book. It's called Godless 666, right. And she spoke at some auditorium.
Right.
Well, someone had made a comment about her Adam's apple. And
it's huge, by the way.
Yeah, and also something about whether or not she has one of those parts.
It looks like she ought to be wearing an oat bag most of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, what had happened is that apparently people have been doing some digging in the conspiracy circles.
Uh-huh.
And apparently now they're trying to get proof on this.
Now, what does that mean when you say people have been doing some digging? Does that mean it's some lonely woman in sweatpants Googling in a basement?
No, there have been a lot of people in the underground who have been doing some digging. And they
what is
some...
the underground? Where is the underground at?
Well, there's bloggers, and there's also people who are rumor mill people that exist in news groups, and I talk to them, and I talk to people in news organizations that I have that give me information, and they drop me lines, and they say, hey, Clyde, look into this, see what you think. Well, they gave me a line last week. I guess it's kind of a rumor going around that Ann Coulter's real name is Arthur Coltrane, and that she's the heir to the hog farms in Atlanta, in Pickens, Georgia, and that she got her sex change in 77 in Norway. So something to look into.
Well, I want to know. Just let's know. By the way, we are not asserting this to be the truth.
No,
let's note that right now. We are merely reporting on speculation.
I'm reporting a rumor, just like the sleeping rumor with the president and good old.
By the way, you know, Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio never did. She didn't dispute that Laura Bush had moved out of the White House. She said that. I mean, to be fair, she didn't dispute any of it. I mean, because it's a rumor. She said that the people in the White House, they flat out denied the Bush-Condi relationship thing. But she said that there was no denial about Laura Bush having moved out of the White House.
Well, these news reports you won't be getting in the mainstream news because they want to try and cover them up. In fact, I know the full story of why Ann Coulter ordered police to basically take somebody out of the auditorium, and I cannot repeat it on the air because it was too obscene, but it had something to do with her gender, had something to do with her Adam's apple, and had something to do with her possible undetected penis.
Her swimsuit area?
Exactly. So
There should be a band called Ann Coulter's Undetected Penis. Kids, you know, somebody out there right now, one of you punk guys, you go ahead and use that.
So Arthur Coltrane.
Okay, that.
Arthur Coltrane, that's the name. And
okay.
Apparently she is the heir of the Coltrane Hog Farm, I guess you'd say millionaire money.
So goes the rumor.
So, there you go.
All right, this was your topic, Rick. You asked for it.
Yeah.
What about human werewolves?
Werewolf, Nebraska, Omaha. If you go to, if you go into Google and you put in "woman captures picture of beast in Nebraska,"
why would you
in
do
her
that?
Backyard.
What are the odds that someone? How did you?
An investigative reporter might do such a thing.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
In fact, werewolf is probably one of the most sought after in a Google search. They announced in some, I guess it was the Willamette Week or in the Mercury, that werewolves, yeah, weed, and Wicca are three of the major topics that Portlanders basically put into their Google search.
Portlanders, by the way, also Google the phrase "impeach President Bush" more than any other city in America.
Exactly. So I did it just for laughs, and I found this story about a werewolf that was captured on film, a picture of a werewolf on film in Nebraska, Omaha. The woman's last name is Carta, if I remember.
Uh-huh.
And apparently she snapped a picture of this werewolf crawling up her backyard.
Do you ever feel any shame that you come on the air and talk about these things?
Not at all. In fact, I think this is the coolest thing. I mean, right, this werewolf picture is so creepy. You should, uh-huh, take a look at it. It's this big, haunched, large creature. They're saying it's a bobcat. Bobcats aren't that big. I mean, this is a huge creature. So.
I bet his coworkers love this, you know.
Yes, your coworkers know that you have this distinctly evil bent to your personality.
Oh yes, they love it. I send out fabulous facts all the time in my emails. So okay, they ask me for a fabulous fact.
You can ask for better water cooler chat.
Yeah, it's pretty much water.
Everybody else is just talking about American Idol, and you're talking about some creature with three heads that eats babies. And
exactly. So do the search. It was in Nebraska television. Right. It's woman captures. I mean, if you go to anomalous.com, I think they saw the story
Sarah,
there.
Sarah's there right now. All right. What was the third thing?
And the third thing is people with superhuman strength.
Yes.
Lately, there have been a lot of stories in the news. Apparently, there was one in Florida where a man claiming to be Luke Skywalker was apprehended by police, and he started fighting them off, saying, I'm mofo Luke Skywalker, leave me alone. And he started pushing these people off of him,
police officers off of him. Right.
They tased him like 50 or 60 times, and he didn't fall. And then he beat them with his fist, and they were batoning his legs, and he still got up and walked around.
What kind of lame-ass Luke Skywalker is beating somebody with his fist?
Well, no, the police were beating him with a fist, and he didn't. And he was beaten down, hit with a baton, everything, and he still got up and pushed the police off of him.
Yeah.
There have been a number of stories about people with superhuman strength and how police officers are now calling it excited delirium. And I looked it up. Excited delirium doesn't even exist. They're making it up so they can justify shooting these guys. Excited delirium was something they used to call people who were on LSD. And
this is actually true now. It's a little known fact that actually the rampant use of cocaine in the early 20th century was actually why the police have larger caliber handguns now.
Yeah.
Because the police claim that people who were on cocaine could not be brought down with regular handguns.
These are people that aren't on cocaine. This is another scary thing, is that they're not on cocaine, and they have no drugs in them. And, in fact, there was a story in Oregon, a Sandy man by the name of Fuad Katie, who actually, I guess he was in an accident. He caught on fire or something. His body was burned all over his body, and he came out of the car, and he showed, according to the police, superhuman strength before they shot him. Mm-hmm. He actually jumped from the ground onto the top of the car.
Why would you need to shoot a guy who was burned all over his body?
That's the whole thing, is that it was a horrible incident, and the police were under investigation for it. But this poor gentleman was on fire. He was in pain, and he obviously, while he was in pain, showed superhuman strength. And he was able to leap onto a car, and according to police, and so they didn't know what to do with him. They tased him so many times, and they shot him, which I think is sad. But these stories keep coming up in the news of people with superhuman strength, and they're not on drugs, and that's a strange story.
Hold on a second. We got
who wouldn't shoot a man on fire who's running toward them?
I don't know.
What if you try to get somebody bear hugged, then you can bust too.
It's just a tragic story.
This is that's right. I forgot to use the sound too. Speaking of superhuman strength, with the superhuman strength to get on the air whenever he wants to, we have
one big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
George from Wilsonville joining us
now.
Hey,
Rick.
Hi, George.
Hey, Clyde. I was just watching a show on nuclear brinksmanship, and I thought of you. We're talking about the largest airburst that was ever performed by the United States. A hundred megaton hydrogen bomb.
Right.
Is the largest one they've ever airdropped.
Right.
And I thought, I wonder, how many Hiroshima bombs is that? So I punched in 15 kilotons, because that's what Hiroshima was.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that that airburst was equal to 6,666 Hiroshimas.
Ooh, that's creepy.
That is very creepy.
Math calls are really exciting.
Hey, listen, whatever happened to Riley's casket world?
Riley's Casket
World. Riley's Casket World.
Remember, you found out that it was legal to have to sell coffins. And
oh yeah. No. We were going to open like a casketeria.
Yeah, like a Darwin special.
And well, we'll do that
in a spectacular fashion. You get
to that'd be fun.
We couldn't find enough store space.
No, we'll do that in Emersonia. That's it. We'll buy out the Pronto Puff guy.
Speaking of Rickopolis, if we donate towards it. Can I name a street, Baker Street, there?
I think there's only the one street. I think there really is just Otis Avenue or Otis Way or whatever the hell it is. I don't know if you all have seen Otis, Oregon. It's not really an expansive community.
It's just the restaurant there.
It is. I mean, really, there's a restaurant, the Pronto Pup Stand, a gas station, and I think that's it. I don't think there's anything else.
Right.
And Rick Emerson, City of Sarcophagi.
Yes. All right. Thank you, George.
All right.
All right.
Care.
There you go. Clyde, what's coming up in your world for the people?
Basically, I'm going to relate about the superhuman strength, talk more about this whole business of excited delirium, yeah. And maybe even go into the werewolf story, because I think the werewolf story is fascinating. I think the idea of a werewolf in Nebraska is kind of cool.
There you go.
I mean, I don't know if you found the picture yet. If not, I'll email you the picture.
Yeah, Sarah
it'll
be
found
amazing.
It. I found
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Isn't it scary?
Clyde, it looks like a dog. You know I love you.
What are werewolves?
It doesn't. I don't. It just.
What was a werewolf?
There's nothing that shows the size of it. I mean, it doesn't look any bigger than.
All right. Estimate the hindquarters of that animal and look at his leg. It's about 2 feet long.
I don't know that
most dogs. And if you take a look at the haunch shoulders, I'll send you an enhancement.
But I think it's a corn-fed werewolf.
I don't know that every big dog is Sirius Black, Clyde. Sometimes it's just a big dog.
Well, not that big. Take a look how big that dog is. It's as big as a mountain lion.
All right, hold on. I'm going to... More gripping radio now as I leave the microphone and walk over to the computer. Hold on. We're all walking over to Sarah's computer now. And it's a dog.
It is a dog. What is a werewolf but a dog?
A werewolf... Okay, that makes no sense.
A werewolf is a dog. A huge dog.
If a werewolf was just a dog, we wouldn't
have
separate...
What do you want him to have? You want him to have your head on top of it?
Well, that would be impressive, at least.
Oh, there's another one.
Okay.
The werewolf.
Okay.
She says it looked like a werewolf. So I'm going on that. Werewolf.
How would she know
werewolf,
what a werewolf...
Werewolf everywhere, werewolf.
How would she know what a werewolf looks like?
Who knows? She watched Underworld. Hell, I don't know.
It was wearing a leather trench coat. All right. Clyde Lewis, and you'll be at Dante's tonight.
Yeah, I will.
ClydeLewis.com. Thank you, man.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. There you go. For the love of Jesus, God.
It just looks like a mongrel second offense.
It really does.
It's a freaking dog.
I usually believe... I'm one of Clyde's biggest fans, but that's a dog.
I love Clyde.
It's a Nebraska werewolf.
Okay. They grow them big out there. Mm-hmm. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, about that mystery sound, says Eric. Is it... See, this doesn't even make any sense. Listen to this. This is just a guess. It's so impossibly vague. Rick, about that mystery sound, is it from an old fishing video game? What the hell does that even mean? The answer is no, by the way, Eric. Mm. And you have brought shame on your whole house for saying so. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, here's a heartwarming story about a real dog and not a werewolf from Florida.
I have no idea. For the love of... Oh,
I got it.
A 17-pound beagle named Belle is more than man's best friend. She is a lifesaver. Belle is in Washington, D.C. today to receive an award for biting into owner Kevin Weaver's cell phone to call 911 after the diabetic man had a seizure and collapsed.
Aww.
You see, Belle has been trained to summon help in those circumstances. She was the first canine recipient to win the Vita Wireless Samaritan Award, given to someone who uses a cell phone to save a life, prevent a crime, or help in an emergency.
So this is... So the guy had a seizure?
Yes.
And then the dog called 911?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty great. And I don't just say that because I'm a dog owner. Because dogs, what is it? There's that one, and it's only one species of dog. There is that one species of dog that I can't remember that can tell when you are about to have some sort of a diabetic. No, it's if you're an epileptic. There's that one species of dog that can tell when you're about to have a seizure. But the weird thing is, I'm not making this up. This is a known fact. I forget what the type of dog is. But the weird thing is that it can tell before it happens.
Yeah.
Because it senses like a subtle change in your body temperature or something. Mm-hmm. And the dog actually warns you when you're about to have a seizure, which is freaking weird, by the way. So, all right.
So, using their keen sense of smell, animals can detect abnormalities in a person's blood sugar level.
All right, yeah, so there you go. So that's creepy and strange. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, here's a heartwarming story. Firefighters in Southern Oregon rescued a little fawn from an abandoned mine shaft. The fawn had fallen some 20 feet into the mine as it fled from a cruel dog. Firefighters lowered Applegate Fire Chief Cody Goodnaw into the mine to fetch the fawn, which was perched on a pile of debris. Once the two emerged from the shaft unharmed, the fawn was returned to the woods. Firefighters were familiar with the mine after rescuing a Labrador that fell down that same shaft in 2003. This time, they might put a cover over the hole.
Okay.
From Texas comes word, a Texas high school teacher is fighting for her teaching license after her partner posted topless pictures of her on the internet.
Sweet.
So, the survey question says, should the teacher have lost her job over topless photos?
Oh, I've seen this, by the way. The woman's hideous. She's a beast.
Yeah, she is.
That's not even, you haven't seen the full body photo of her. I've seen the full body photo, man. She needs a wide angle lens on her. She's big.
Hmm.
She's a big woman.
She looks like Ann Coulter's Adam's apple.
Well, here's the thing about Ann Coulter. What was it? Arthur Coltrane?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Arthur Coltrane clearly is, you just picture some guy in a pork pie hat playing the harmonica from deep inside Chicago. I mean, it's just too easy. It's saying that Ann Coulter used to be, I mean, that's like some Jamie Lee Curtis. That's just, you think Clyde of all people would spot that. That is just a slight modification and updating of a long-standing urban legend about the Jamie Lee Curtis. Clearly there is, I'm not saying she doesn't look like a man, because she does, but I'm just saying. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, anyway, before all this happened, school officials in Austin thought Tamara Hoover was an excellent art teacher. However, after the photos came out, she was told she had become ineffective.
By the way, you can tell that she's a bad person because her name is Tamara. There is no... Any woman you know, I don't care what it is, she could be Secretary of State. If you know a woman named Tamara, she's trashy.
Well, she makes no apologies for the photos and said they're art. They show her in the shower, lifting weights, getting dressed in bed, and doing other routine activities. The school district said the photos are inappropriate and violate the higher moral standard expected of public school teachers. Even art teachers are usually a little bit crazy.
All right.
So that's that.
Rick, I'm calling Minister of Information for Emersonia. This, unlike other ministers of education, will include military options. It will be Emersonia's duty to spread good practices to other districts who are stupid, like Portland. Vicki Phillips, your days are numbered, says this email. But it's not me saying that. I'm merely conveying the information contained in this email. Signed Dan, P1 in Portland. P.S. I watched Kiss Kiss Bang Bang last night. Freaking brilliant. Here's Tim Riley.
A fellow who claimed to have a one-night stand with Clay Aiken now says he's sorry he blabbed. John Paulus, the former Green Beret who took his tale to the National Enquirer, isn't retracting the story but says he regrets going public with it. I regret defying the trust of Clay, he writes in his blog. I regret hurting him, his family and friends. I regret that I started a blog that ridiculed him. I apologize to Clay, and I hope he'll accept that. Reps haven't returned his call.
No, but speaking of that, now I have, where is it? The New Enquirer right here.
Wow, it looks like an even bigger issue than ever before.
No, it's jam-packed. Well, they have to jam-pack it because apparently Loretta Lynn died briefly in the operating table and Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are having another baby.
No.
Really?
And Sarah Dillon. There's so much we have to get through today, so I apologize in advance.
I didn't have the internet there or anything.
I'm going to tell you right now, here's what we still got to do. We still got to talk about this thing I found on the street, which is fantastic. We have to do a recap of everything Sarah missed last week. We have Lisa Goddard and Jim Roop coming up. We have the top five. By the way, Sarah Dillon, do you know who Jessica Simpson's new man is?
Is it Dane Cook?
No. Boy, and don't you hate that guy?
Well, I think he's kind of funny.
He's funny. See, and I don't see it. Because I have never really heard anything by him. All I knew was that people really liked him, and he had all this internet buzz. He had like a million MySpace friends. And I spent the weekend watching that Tourgasm show that he does.
Mm.
And it has a bunch. It's like him and three guys on the road. So it kind of strikes against it anyway, because it's comedians who I detest. And because they're just awful people. And then it's a reality show. I mean, he seems like a really nice guy, but maybe I'm missing something.
Well, I just listen to his albums. I haven't seen anything.
Maybe I had to borrow it, maybe, like that Retaliation record or whatever that came out, whatever his new one is. Maybe I'm missing something, because I wanted to like him. He seems like a good guy. He really does. I didn't find his comedy all that funny. He did not make me laugh. Unlike that show Lucky Louie on HBO. Did anybody watch that?
No.
Man. Lucky Louie is either terrible or genius. I'm not quite sure. That's a program quite unlike anything I've ever seen. We don't have Peter Carlin today, or I'd talk about it a whole lot, but I'm going to get distracted. No, but So he seems like a nice guy. He didn't seem tremendously funny, but maybe I'm not listening to the right. Although I have learned...
You will like him. You will like him.
I have learned this about Dane Cook, though, that there is a real divide. I've learned that that the people who love Dane Cook really love him, but I learned that there's an equal number of people who just don't get what that guy's all about. So I don't feel bad, because I know that there is apparently a really wide split about Dane Cook and whether or not he is an amusing fellow. But no... Jessica Simpson's new man is not Dane Cook. Here's a hint. You're going to be crushed and disappointed. And it's not what's his name from Brokeback Mountain.
Okay, it isn't Jake Gyllenhaal?
It's not Jake Gyllenhaal. His first name does start with a J, though.
Jared Leto?
Yeah.
Oh, he's a man whore.
Look at that.
I've met Jared Leto. He was a...
When did you meet Jared Leto?
At Enfest.
What is Enfest?
It's a thing that they have... Well, they used to have it in Bremerton. I think they...
Oh, Enfest?
Yeah, Enfest.
Oh, with the Seattle, the radio station?
Yeah, for 107.7 The End.
But when did he turn into... What's his name? When did he turn into Stan as Gothic Raven Kid on Silver Park?
He looks like a werewolf.
You know why? It's
no,
because...
he's in that crappy band, Seconds to Mars.
Yes, because like all movie stars, he's now convinced that he can be a rock star. So there he is looking troubled and tortured and stuff. Which is too bad. I like him. He's a great actor, but... Man, that's no
He is
good.
Another really, 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 really short guy.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he was
all,
like 5'2".
They're all like that in person. All right, so who were you what were you talking about? You're talking about somebody who had a one-night stand with Clay Aiken?
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly?
Yeah.
All right, now, I don't have audio on this.
Guy.
Oh, come on. What do you mean? Or girl. Not to go back to all the American Idol unpleasantness of a few weeks back, but, man, somebody got a hold of him and gave him a good glossing. That's an interesting showbiz phenomenon when they take a guy who's sort of endearing because he's weird looking and then they just buff all the uniqueness right off of him. Because Clay Aiken, I mean, I'd rather be set on fire than listen to Clay Aiken's music, but I mean, he had a certain sort of charming awkwardness to him because he was not a conventionally attractive man. He was sort of nerdy. He was kind of, you know, 98-pound weakling looking. But man, when he came out to sing on American Idol in that finale with whoever it was, with the Chicken Little guy, I didn't even recognize him. It's like that Dave Thomas guy that won that the MTV VJ contest the same time that that Jesse Camp did. Remember how Dave Thomas from MTV was endearing because he looked like a schlub. He looked like he was smuggling a pillow and he had bad hair and he was just sort of a puffy guy. And man, it's like I see that guy now and it's like somebody liposuctioned all the fat right out of him and he's got big teeth.
Oh, Carson Daly.
Yeah. So
he's creepy looking. He's all anorexic.
Totally. So I'm reading this now from Mike Walker in The Inquirer. This is the Clay Aiken story reminded me of this. He says, quote, weeks ago, this is Mike Walker saying this now, weeks ago I reported that Ryan I'm Not Gay Seacrest commented on his LA radio show that Michael Douglas looked hairy lately. Now listen to this. Apparently Ryan Seacrest was talking about how Michael Douglas looks hairy, and then Seacrest said, quote, I'm not into bearded men, end quote. Mike Walker said that in his opinion, no straight guy talks that way. Now listen to this. So now Ryan Seacrest apparently just interviewed Vince Vaughn and gushed, quote, dude, I'm totally into girls, ... but you're at the top of my hump island when it comes to guys. I don't even know what that means.
Vaughn's at the top of my hump island, too.
I don't even know where that is. I don't know, that's like my fantasy
it
island.
It sounds like a magical land.
So there you go. So there's Ryan Seacrest.
All right. Hey, should we break?
Hey, oh, we're so behind.
I know. See, well, if it was last week, then you'd be right on time.
Yes. But unhappy. So here's what we've got. There you go. We got Lisa Goddard coming up. We got, you know, with every cough, I can just see the germs being sprayed into the air.
Do you think I'm happy doing this? I'm covering my mouth. I'm washing my hands every break.
You know, none of those things do any good, by the way. They'll tell you that you cover your mouth when you... Covering your mouth when you sneeze, that just assures that the next person you shake hands with is going to get the super flu.
The germs of 10 million for the Big Apple.
That's totally what it is.
Back as a lovely parting gift.
Everybody you know is going to be dead of Captain Trips within the day.
Right. Don't make me laugh.
Yeah. Well, all right. Lisa Goddard coming up. Jim Roop coming up. I'll tell you about the amazing thing I found laying in the street. Top five. We'll recap last week. And we got to other things. All right, you stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.